This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning. So my name's Eric, and I've met many of you. There's some of you I've never met before. But even if you've never met me, you can already tell I'm a foreigner, I'm sure, by the way I'm talking. I don't think I have an accent, but you think I have an accent. So I'm from America. A lot of you are Namibians. Some of you I know are South Africans. I know there's other nationalities represented here. It's one of the things we love about this church, all the different nationalities we see here. But all of us have a citizenship somewhere, I hope. Otherwise, you should probably get some legal assistance. But even though we all have a citizenship somewhere, in a different sense, we're all foreigners, right? The scripture tells us in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. Now, we know that as earthly citizens, we have to pay taxes to the country, to the nation that we're a citizen of. And we don't do this to buy our citizenship, but rather we do it in response to it. Now, what about our tithes and our offerings? Do we do those? Do we give our tithes? Do we give our offerings to buy our citizenship into the kingdom of God? Absolutely not. We don't do it to buy our citizenship. It's our response to God's adoption of us into his family and into his kingdom. But it's not that different than what we do here in our earthly homes, right? In Mark 12, Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's." So the state can legally demand our taxes, but the church doesn't do that. But God does demand our generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver." And Jesus says really simply in Matthew 10, "Freely you have received, so freely give." So America is not perfect, you probably know that. And Namibia is not perfect, and no country on earth is. But in a perfect earthly citizenship, giving our taxes would both be a duty and a joy. So here's the exciting thing. Our citizenship in the kingdom of God is perfect. So our offerings are both a duty and a joy to give. So let's just think about that this moment as we collect the offerings and give to God what is God's.
Thank you for the opportunity, JP and you guys, to come and listen here this morning. I am always a privilege to be here with you. Always nice to be here. Always nice to come and get some sunshine, although it looks like the summer is on its way to Swakop. So we've had some lovely weather. We're doing well. Those of you who do not know, just maybe some feedback. We are busy building our church building. You're partnering with us as well at the same time. And it's just been an amazing journey so far. We are two-thirds from finishing that building. And so far it's been built cash. You know, so in this time, I'm so humbled that God would still do things like that. And, you know, we still have a way to go. And I was very passionate the other day in church. And I said to you guys, "We're not going to go to the bank." And I said, "I hope I have not to, don't have to revisit my words and then go to the bank and then say, we'll have to finish this." But I trust that God wants us to just go out there in faith and just to see the impossible and the miraculous, because that is the God we serve. And I don't want any man to get credit for that. And that's why I don't want to go to the bank. So it's just because I don't want Bank Windhoek or F&B to have any credit. And you know what? It's fine. I worked for them and all of that. And sometimes God uses that. And maybe God would still direct us. But at this time, we haven't had any direction from God to go into that direction. So or word from God. So we've been blessed with that and many other things. I think God is just so good. At the same time, as we're doing that, we're always facing challenges. You know, life is like that. You know, church is like that. You're never in a place when everything is fine. You know, I look at our church and I see there's many things that I can celebrate, many things where God is working, but at the same time, I'm aware of our brokenness. I'm aware of our frailty. I'm aware of how much we need God in areas. So it keeps us humbled. It keeps us at a place where we just need God. Can you imagine if everyone was just going well? You know, if the church was just perfect, everybody was just doing their share, you know, I mean, we would have been so filled with pride, you know. So we stand here and I testify, but then I sometimes think, man, if you only knew about the other challenges we're facing, you know, and how imperfect we are. And, You know, when people come to us, I've probably said this as well, you know, people come to the church, and not just our church and other churches, and then they say, oh, this is amazing church, and I'm starting to worry because I know, oh, this is not, you know, God is amazing, but we are not perfect. And it's almost like when you meet that your wife, or you think, oh, she's so beautiful, so perfect, or her husband, other way around, don't want to knock my wife, but, you know, and then you get to know one another a little bit better, and you realize we're all just humans, you know. But we need to learn to love through that, you know, and with that, you know, and to grow together. So this morning I want to share on the process to the promise, because I believe God is giving all of us promises. We have a promise that we're pursuing, and to see God's building being finished, although that's just a building, by the way. And that was probably our challenge as well from the beginning of this year, to say to ourselves, you know, we need to build a physical building that would be an instrument and a tool, but yet we need to build the church of God. That's probably the most important thing. How do we build and how do we make disciples, you know? That we don't become distracted with the physical building, and that's all that we want. But yet at the same time, and it's a new territory for us, it's difficult for us because, you know, you need to build a church, but you need to build a church. You need both need the attention, but you need to give priority, and you need to go through this, and you learn a lot through that. But I do believe that God gives all of us promises. I thank God. Life is not boring. I thank that I don't have to live for just this life. I don't have to get up every morning and just go to work and think, you know what, I just have to get money just to get my kids through the school and just get them through education and then just one day just going to retire and hopefully just relax and then, you know what, sit there, play a little bit of golf. I don't know what we imagine we would do. But life is so much more exciting when we partner with God, when we team up, when God says, listen, I want to write your story. And then God gives us promises, you know, obviously, when God gives us promises, that overwhelms us. I spoke to the leaders yesterday. I spoke about Genesis 15, when God sometimes needs to take us back to that moment when he spoke to Abram and said to Abram, listen, you need to come out of your house to have a look there. Abram, can you count them? I mean, think about that. I mean, just go out again and just count. Try and count. That's what I've got in store for you. And that's the kind of God that would take us to places that we've never been before. And can I just say this for a moment, that all of you, when we get into the presence of God, God wants to make you pregnant with his promises. Amen, amen, man. That is the God that we serve. And I hope that you're sitting here this morning with a lot of unfulfilled promises this morning. Because, I mean, if there's not an unfulfilled promise, we'll have to greet you this morning and say, Jesus, come and fetch him. He's finished here on earth. Huh? Hey, man, we must live till we die, and we must feel, actually, like an Abram, not even seeing everything, but we've given our best and say, Jesus, I'm going to do my best. So there's a process, obviously, to that promise. And I want to speak a little bit on that and share three things with you. So if you want to turn with me to Joshua 5, verse 12. And then we're going to read that from verse 12 up to verse 2. We've got the screen, yes. I was looking up and I realized, where's the screen gone now? But it's behind me. It's the habits we have. It says, then the manna ceased, and the day after that, eating the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Clicks. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho in your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. Is it all? Oh, we only got two verses. Okay, I've got the backup here. Don't worry. Okay, I'm going to read the New Living Translation, but actually, I love the New King James better there, but nevertheless, I think it's a mistake between the way I described it. I wanted up to 6 verse 2, and that meant probably just the 2. Nevertheless, let's read that together. Now, manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land. and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you a friend or a foe? Neither one, he replied, I am the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. I am at your command. The New King James Version says, Joshua worshipped him. Okay? Joshua said, what do you want your servant to do? The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, "I've given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors." Just bear in mind, they haven't been into the town yet. They haven't been in the country yet. And God already told them, "I already gave that to you." I love that. I love that how God would just speak prophetically into our future. Say, "Listen, I've already given it to you, by the way." Past tense. I've given it to you. Just remind it, and then you walk into this. Yeah. So here's the thing. When we look at the promises that God gives us, and we shared in this yesterday as well, that about this beautiful picture that God would give us individual promises, and it's almost like this massive 2,000 or 3,000 piece puzzle, and your piece of puzzle is a beautiful picture, but it fits in somewhere into the bigger picture. Within, probably in the context of where we are this morning in the family, there's a picture, there's a place for your puzzle piece. Huh? Say amen with me. You can preach with me here this morning. Okay, I just want to clarify that. I love it when people speak in church. Okay, so I'm not the kind of guy that says you should keep quiet. Okay, you can just say amen. You can do whatever you want to do. That's fine. Just don't disturb the rest. But all I'm just saying this morning is that God's got a promise and God's got a place for you, and there's a process to that. When God takes us. Now, anytime when God wants to move us into a new place, to the process, there's a place of crossing over from the old into the new. And when God wants to cross us over, there's a transitional place, a transitional time when certain things take place in our lives. And I believe many of us are in that place of transition when God wants to move us from away from the wilderness into the promised land. It's not the typical promised land sermon here this morning, but all I want to say is, anytime when change is going to come, there's going to be a transitional time and God wants to do certain things. And in that moment, there's certain things that needs to take place. But in order for us to move from the one to the other, there needs to be a power relationship leader in your life. I want you to notice this. When God wanted to take them out of the wilderness into the promised land, there was a change of leadership that took place. Because this leader took them up to that place, but God had to bring a new leader to do something new in their lives and to take them to a new place what God had prepared for them. So that's why it's so important to join yourself with the right people in your lives. There's a difference this morning between showing up and joining yourself. And I'm not saying, you know, put people on pedestals. I'm just saying recognize what God has placed inside of people and can be leaders here around us. People, we need one another. Amen? We need one another because we have something. You've got something that I need. And I have to figure that out. But here's the thing. When God wanted to move them into the new place, and Joshua was, so to speak, the new one that God wanted to anointed him, God lifted him up in the eyes of the people. Many people were hanging on to the old and the new. And there's this clash sometimes when God moves us from what we used to be used to the new, that we are tempted in church as well, often, to hold on to the old. That, yeah, man, we did the things this way, you know, and it's been working for 15 years, and why do you want to change things, you know? Why are you going to rock the boat now? But here's the thing, when I figured out, wise people in life join themselves to the new move of God. But listen, this is important. You wouldn't know that unless you walk with the Holy Spirit, you know. We can look at systems and methods and methodologies and a lot of those things, and we're going to miss this. But when we are attached and we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, we will realize, hey man, God is working here. God is working through this person. I need to tie up. I need to, you know, to rally behind this person, or I need to be part of this, what God wants to do in this church, so that God can transition me with them or with us, for us as a group, to the next place. Because God is working in groups in a family. You can say amen to that. Eh? We're not going to end up one day in front of God and say, God, I've arrived. And God would say, where's the rest of the people that were supposed to be there with you? You know, that's church, that's family, that's your family this morning. I can't end up one day in front of God and say, God, I made it. Well, where's your wife, your children? You know, were you supposed to bring them with you? No, I'm not saying we have influence over them. We can't make a decision, but we have influence. We've got influence this morning when I speak to you, but it's still your decision. It's still your choice. But I have to figure out a way how we can encourage, get one another to one place, united, so that we can get there together, so that God can transition us into that new place. You see, there's a couple of things that needs to take place. And the first thing, whenever God moves us from the wilderness, from the previous season into the next season, the first thing he will do, listen to this, he will change your diet. Okay. Tim Noakes, Tim Atkins, listen to me. Terrible. Huh? I'm halfway. I heard the bell ringing, but anyway, it's terrible. Here's the thing. When you need to go to a new place that you've never been before, you need a new appetite. God needs to change something that you were desiring so that you can go to that new place. I mean, look, when they were in Egypt, what did they eat? Garlic. The Bible says they fed on garlic, onions, and leeks. Garlic, onions, and leeks, the stuff that smell. And I love that stuff anyway, by the way. But that smelly stuff, or that nice stuff smells. But it's just something prophetically and something I just want to share here with you this morning. That when God moves you out of that place, you know, when you smell, you know, it's a food of bondage. Egypt is, when they talk about this, Egypt was a place of bondage. And you eat the food of bondage in the place of bondage, you know. I mean, we've been to France the other night and a couple of weeks ago, and we had garlic and everything. It was a Saturday night, so you can imagine you're worried about Sunday morning. Because when I can't pray for people, it's just a problem. You know, you need to keep the distance, seriously. Because they're going to fall over and it's not going to be the anointing. But here's the thing. How do you recognize or know that people are in bondage? You just, yeah. You just stand there and wait till they stop speaking. And all you do is you just smell bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment. I'm so angry. You know, people become critical when they're in bondage. And that's just the thing. We talk about that stuff. It just comes out. And God needs to change that diet. Yeah, and when we come to Christ, we're full of that. Think about that. And God needs to change our diet so that what comes out of our mouth doesn't stink. Huh? Amen. The old appetite of bondage of Egypt. And I mean, even if you're now far away from Egypt, but you're here in the middle, God needs to change something in your diet to take you to the new place. You can't go to a new place with the same stinking attitude. Because all that's going to happen, you're just going to change from location, but with the same attitude. But if you want to move up, I want to say in the ladder, or move closer, then God needs to do something on the inside so that I desire certain things that I didn't desire before. And I don't desire other things anymore because there's a change in my diet, spiritually speaking, this morning. See, many of us are born again, and you can be with the Lord, but you still feast on the stuff of Egypt. And God says, hey, get rid of that stuff, man. It's not good for you. You see, when they got out of Egypt into the promised land, what happened? God gave them, the Bible says, God gave them manna. Do you know what manna means? Manna means they picked it up and they looked at it and it says, what is it? What is this? What is it? And God fed them for 40 years. What is it? Now think about what is it? What is it that represents the word of God in scripture here? You come to Christ and what we need is just to feed on this. What is it? You know, I think about church. The first time I came to church, it was, what is this? What are these people doing, man? What's wrong with these people? What's praise and worship? What's tithing? But here's the thing. When you keep on feeding on the what is it, it sustains you. I mean, what if you came in the first time to church or to an environment that you didn't know and you thought, you know what, I'm so comfortable. Many times we're just so uncomfortable. But if we hang in there and we just eat of this, what is it? Because sometimes, you know, my children do not know what is good for them. Now you start to, I mean, they become a little bit wiser. But when they're small, you have to tell them, no, you can't eat that, you need to eat this. This, what is it? I mean, they look at their plate sometimes. What is this? Well, you got to eat this. Huh? We all know this. Because it's better for them. And God knows what is best for us this morning. And sometimes in seasons, God wants to feed you the manna. Amen. The what is it? Huh? So that God knows this morning where he's taking us and what is happening. Now here's the thing. Some people complain about the food. Like our children. And God says, just keep quiet and eat the food. Because it will take you to your next journey. It will take you to your next place. And you know, we are so unthankful in many ways, you know. Sometimes I just want to pour a glass of water to my kids and just say, okay, tonight you're just going to have water because you're so unthankful. And I'm not knocking, I'm just saying. So it is just in our human nature sometimes to complain. It's just to find fault. Oh, I don't like this. This is not the way I picture it. The way the church is, the way, this is not, just eat the what is it. It's going to help you. Yes. It's going to sustain yes. you. You know what happened? The interesting thing is, as soon as they're supposed to publish their book, now I think about 40 years, man. I mean, this is a long time to eat of this manna. So thank God that we're living in these days. Nowadays, we get a lot of this, what is it, in different versions, the bread. We can talk about that. But just as soon as they were ready to publish their book, 1,001 Ways to Cook with Manna, manna ceased. We're just busy offering this book. We've got so many recipes, so many spices that you can add to taste different. God changed their diet again. Because here's the thing, just as soon as you think you figured it out, guess what? God changes everything. Huh? So that we don't become attached to systems and methods and things. God wants continuously to put us into that place of change. Because yes. Why? Because we don't put our hope in the thing. And I don't want to say we love in the church, in the denomination, in the method, how we reach out to people, what we do. But that we continuously look at Jesus, that we continuously are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know. So he moves them from that place, manna sees, and then God says, listen, you're now in the promised land, but here in the promised land is different. Back then I fed you manna, now you got to learn to act upon faith. So in this land, where you are now, and it's not a gospel of socialism, but listen here, in order for you to eat, you need to break the ground open. Open up the ground, sow into this ground. Because here's the thing, there's a new, when we get into that place of our lives, God says to us, listen, you can't just sit in church making notes. It's a time now to put that aside or read that and start applying that in your life. You want peace? Sow peace. You want to be a friend or want friends? Be a friend. You want finances? Then be obedient to what God's word says. About. You know what? God is taking us to that place to mature us from time to time. And there comes a time that we just have to step out and do what faith demands upon us. Mm-hmm. We can sit here Sunday after Sunday waiting for the promise to take place. We can be very spiritual. And there's moments for that. There's moments for that. But there's a moment to step out in faith and say, Jesus, I'm going to do what faith demands of me. The second thing God would do to us, he will move us into a place of discomfort. Psalm 126 verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. I love that scripture. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. They don't sow in a happy place. They sow in a discomfortable place. And when God moves us to a new season, to a new place on the process to the promise, there are going to be moments of discomfort. Hey, it's not a smooth ride. Can I just break the bubble and just tell you, I've got good news for you. There's discomfort coming your way. And be comfortable with the discomfort that's coming your way. That's just the way God is working. Thought about the story when Jesus told when it actually happened. The people came to him, they had to pay taxes. And Jesus said, listen, you're going to go down there, catch that fish. And when you get that fish, take out the coin that's in his mouth, and then you pay the taxes. How many of you would wish that Jesus would do that once again? Okay, say, so Jesus, I'm going to go fishing this afternoon. I've got some needs. But here's the thing, that fish, and here's the thought I want to bring across. For that fish, to release that which is inside of him, the coin, which represents the kingdom of God, the treasures of God, it had to be pulled out of his environment, out of that comfortable place where the fish would swim, put a hook into it, and pull it out of that. And the message I want us to see here this morning, or to get here this morning, is you cannot release the fullness of God in that comfortable place. Amen. For God to release the treasures that is placed inside of us, he needs to hook us sometimes and pull us on the shore where that fish would flopping around and say, you know, this is not a beautiful place and this is not a nice place and it's so dry up here, but Jesus is my source. And for us this morning, Christ and the fullness of Christ and what God has placed inside of us, the promises, the treasures, are going to be released in uncomfortable places. But we need to learn to become comfortable in that place. I mean, I love what Paul says when Paul says, I've learned to become content. I wasn't born content. I've learned to become content in all these things and then release what God has placed inside of us. Sorry. So here's the scripture. The Bible says that Joshua steps out when he meets that angel, and he asks that angel an interesting question. Ask the angel, are you for us or are you for them? And I just can see this picture. Angels are standing there. I'm not for you or not for them. Oh, I don't know if it's a bad angel with a bad attitude, but this is just my sermon. I'm just preaching it this way, but listen to me this morning. What he was saying to Joshua is, listen, Joshua, I'm not for you or not for them. I'm here for God. Because sometimes we want God to be on our side, and God says, listen, I'm not on your side. I'm not their side. I'm on my word side. So the angel is saying to them, listen, I don't really care if I kill you or kill them. I'm just here for God's purposes. And here's the thing. None of us can manipulate God. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot manipulate His word. If we want God to be on our side in our process to our promise, we need to get into God's word. We need to get, when God says, listen, I'm not for Him or not for you. I'm here for my word. I'm here for my cause. I'm here for my purpose. And nothing is going to change. Get onto my side. Get onto the side of my word. Then I'll be on your side. Amen. Okay? And we are not at that place where we can do those things with God. God is God this morning. If we want to get to that place, what God has prepared for us, get into the word. Get into that place of fellowship. Get into the place where God wants for us. So now, what happens here is the Bible says that that this angel was the commander of the army of the Lord, but Joshua was the commander of the captain of the people. And Joshua recognized, hey man, this man's got greater authority than I have got. And he bows and he worship. Because here's the thing, we need to recognize when there are great authority around us and acknowledge that. And he was wise enough to do that, and he fell down there and he worshiped. But it's the thing about leadership, that God has given us leadership. God has given, and I'm not overemphasizing that this morning, just hear me this morning, but God wants to take us to places and needs people around us. But there are different anointings and different people, and not everybody is a leader. I don't agree with that. Everybody's got the potential to become a leader. Because you say to me, everybody's a leader. Oh, well, give your stuff to him. Give your finances to him and tell him just to look after that. The Bible works according to the principle of stewardship. And, you know, there are two signs for us as leaders to measure and to say, are we fruitful or are we a leader? The first one is fruitful. Are we fruitful? Because a leader will be determined, we will recognize leaders by their fruitfulness. Is there fruit in your life? The second thing is leaders get results done or get results. You know, we need to get people from one place. And it's not always easy. I know I get it wrong. I know you're going to get it wrong. But that's fine. We've got God on our side. We can go back to the drawing board and say, Jesus, we failed. We missed this. But here we are again. And God is going to help us. See, when God wanted to choose a leader that would follow up, you know, all the people stood there and they say, oh, we want to be Aaron's assistant or Moses' assistant. And God said, yeah, Moses' assistant. And God says, oh, that's all right. Get somebody from all the tribes. And then you take a dead stick. And then you come and put the dead stick down there. And the one that becomes alive is the one from that tribe which I will choose. And what did God do? I mean, the Bible says that Aaron's rod started to blossom. The dead stick. It's actually just saying that you should be fruitfulness in our lives. That's when God calls us into leadership, there should be fruitfulness. And God set a precedent that day when we're going to have leadership, when we're going to be in leadership roles, when we're going to take people, there should be fruitfulness in our lives to take people to that promised place that God has. I mean, I thought about the religions of this world. Just for a moment, just take a rabbit trail here. Imagine them sitting there in heaven, just for a moment, having a conversation with God and say, we want our religion or our leader to be the leader of all religions. Islamists say, we want Muhammad to be the leader. Okay? Buddha, people of Buddha say, oh, we want Buddha to be the leader. Christians say, we want Jesus to be the leader. And God says, okay, let's test this all. Let's kill them all. And the one that becomes alive, he's going to be the one that's going to be the leader. Because listen, all the other religions, all the leaders, they're dead. But when Christ steps into your life, and there's fruit. And it's the only reason when you know that you're going somewhere when there's fruit in your life. Christ is just the life-giving power. He's that incorruptible seed. He's that one inside of him because he was the first fruit that became alive. The third thing he will do this morning with us, apart from leading us, or apart from changing our diet, apart from leading us into places of discomfort, and this is the last one, he will lead us into a place of worship. The Bible says that when Joshua faced this angel, he took off his shoes and the angel said to him, stay a little bit longer. It denotes something about just wait a little bit. Just wait. Don't rush into this. Don't hurry. Don't run into this. Just wait here. Just worship for a moment. Just sit here. You see, sometimes we're so on our way. We're so on a mission. I just need to get there, and I just need to do this, and even God has called me to do this. I mean, in ministry, I see this often. You know, I have this pressure from time to time between administration, between ministry responsibilities, and then spending time with God. And these things can swallow you, and you've got people, and you've got a lot of these things, and they're all good, and you need to attend to that. But in the midst of that, God would sometimes say, just worship. And you think, my God, I'm not going to get through my day. If I cut out now another 2 hours, it's not gonna balance. But God says, just worship. Amen. I find in those days, God doesn't talk to me about that. He's just saying, just worship. You know, just stop. You know, we need to have the ability sometimes just to take off our shoes and just stop for a moment. And know, you know what, I've got so much pressure right now to perform, to do what God has called me. I want to hurry into that, but just worship. Just stop the boat. Just stop and do. You see, the Bible says that he worshipped at that moment. New King James. Now worship time, people, is not wasted time. I want to say that. I figured that out the last few, I want to say years, more than ever before. That worship time is never wasted time. In the presence of God. Just to bow my knee. To bow my knee in prayer. Just to spend time with him. Apart from the normal that I do. And just to worship. Bible says that they were afraid, that the people of Canaan were afraid of them coming there. Jericho was securely shut up. Walls around that city. The gates are closed because they heard about the people of Israel. Can I just say this to you? The enemy has already heard about your testimony. He already heard. The Bible says they heard about what happened to the other people as they were coming towards Jericho. So they were hiding in Jericho, securely shut up, these giants, yet they were afraid inside of that. You know, sometimes God would take us through life, through the storms of life, and we're on our way, and as soon as we are at that moment we weren't going to break through, that's almost when the resistance is on its toughest. Don't expect things to become easier when you get closer. In actual fact, you're standing in front of those massive walls, but what you do not know is they're already speaking about the testimony. They're already knowing on the other side. If they could only know the fear, if they could only know what the people on the other side, if they could just eavesdrop and just say, you know what, God was working already in preparing them. And you know, our testimony, sometimes we just have to stop, take off our shoes, worship, and then thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, you brought me from that place. Thank you, Lord, I'm not there anymore. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you sustained me. Thank you, Lord, you took me through the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, you fed me the what is it. Thank you, Lord, you fed me the quail. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you brought me water out of the rock. And we can carry on and on. You know, when we are here and we're facing whatever we are facing, we can become so easily discouraged. But then we have to remind ourselves where we came from, what Jesus did for us. Why would he leave us to die in this place when he brought us that far? And man, I have to remind myself still to this day sometimes. Sometimes I face challenges and it's real. I mean, because we live out there, we don't live here. Amen. If we could only live here and we just pat each other on the back, but we need to go through that door a little bit. The bad news is I'm going to leave you in a moment and you need to go as well. And then tomorrow morning you got to wake up, you got to work, and then you got to face some stuff, and that is life. But then we need to live this. Then we need to face whatever God is bringing our way, allowing us to face. So God brings him to that place, and this is my final part. The plane's wheels are out. So you can say amen, we're going almost home. But I just want to share one more thought here with you. So God brings them to that place where they are around that wall, and God gives them instruction. Walk around that city for 7 days. Right? For 6 days, you just walk around. Seventh day, you walk around seven times. But Joshua said to them, listen, guys, you're going to walk around this place. But I'm going to promise you, if one of you are going to open your mouth, I'm going to kill you. Why? Because we've got a reputation, or they had a reputation, of moaning and groaning. The last time you moaned and groaned, we ended up in the wilderness. And I'm not going back there. I'm surely not ending up for another 40. I don't know if I ever got another 40 years left on the clock, but I'm not going there. So shut up. And I just want to say to all of us, sometimes we just need to keep quiet when we're in tough places, in discomfortable places. Because we so easily to talk ourselves out of that, to become so critical. We can speak to God. What I'm just saying is just be careful of what we are saying. Because those words carry power and we speak and we become critical. So here's the thing. God tells them, listen, walk around this place. And they start walking around this. Now imagine, I just want you to see this picture. They're around the city, these massive walls, and they are intimidated by that. And I think God did that deliberately. Because when they were facing this wall and they were intimidated by that, the easiest thing is, oh, these walls are high. I mean, they could think it, but they couldn't speak it. I mean, sometimes we think it, but just don't speak it. I imagine them walking around. Oh, God, why did you bring us to this place? To kill us in this place? The walls are so tight and high. And I think about church environment. You come to a church environment or to a new environment, and sometimes it's a bit intimidating. I mean, getting into a charismatic environment and the Tani da achter, she shouts, and you're like, oh, no, please. And then this thing happens, and they're clapping hands. And they, all of this is intimidating, but just get on. Just keep on coming. Because the longer you go, the less intimidating it becomes. Amen. You can say amen on that. Especially in church. You know, sometimes when it's the first time, you're shocked. But anyway, okay, let's not divert. So they're walking around another day. And another day, and they're walking at the walls. Now it's day two, day three. By day three, here's the thing. They are not as intimidated anymore because they got used to this. Oh, well, you know what? These walls are not that high. I mean, they used to seem to be very high, but now. And then by day four, did I notice a crack there? I mean, these bricks, they seem to be a bit loose. I remember now God brought us through. He brought us from there. Maybe this is going to be possible. So what's happening? Something builds up inside of them, but they're not allowed to speak. So something builds up. And then on that last day, I can imagine them just so filled with such an anticipation of we're going to do this. I mean, listen, the other day we were in this meeting, about 2 weeks ago, and we're busy just doing a reconciliation about our building project, and we're sitting down with our contractor. Anyway, so we're doing this budget thing, and it comes down to this. When we finished there and we sat there, we realized we're two-thirds through this project being paid. And then just such an overwhelmment that comes upon me, and I'm like, God, this is going to happen. You know, you start off, and then you're like, God, I don't know how, and then it's just becoming the reality. Even though we still have to walk that last few miles, you just know that you know that you know that you know, God. Amen. This is going to happen. And I thought they probably walked around and they saw this is going to happen. And then on day seven, after they've gone around that place seven times, they shout out a shout of victory. And the walls came down. They worshiped. Listen, God says to many of us, you're not going to go any further unless you learn to worship. Amen. Unless you learn to stop, take off your shoes, keep quiet and worship. See, on this last day, and God brings down the walls. I think there's something profound that happened there. That sound decibels, and I can't shout now. I'm not going to do that now. But imagine them being filled with so much of God with such an anticipation, and they shouted that the walls came down. Did you know that sound decibels can move matter? I'll prove it to you. If you've ever driven down the street, you get to this traffic light, and all you sit there is just waiting for the light to turn green. And the next thing you hear, boom, 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 and your car starts to shake. Everything vibrates in your car. And then you see there's another car that's pulling up next to you, but you don't see the driver. All you see is just a hand there. And you hear, boom, boom, boom. Your whole your car just goes like that, huh? We've experienced that before. You see the car. You don't see the person behind there. Way back there. But the sound is vibrating inside of your car because sound decibels can move matter. And here's the thing which I think probably happened. God knows the sound decibels of the walls of your resistance. And if we can learn to worship, God says, I can take that worship, I can match it to get to that level so that the walls can come down. Amen. It's tough sometimes, man. Life is sometimes not comfortable. They, Paul, Silas are in the prison, and they're like, they're chained there. And then they choose to worship in that moment. Different worship song. I said that last Sunday. I think Paul figured out that the worship song he sang in the prison is different from the one that he sang in church. And it certainly got God's attention. It's different to worship up there, down there in the dungeon, in the jail. When my body, I don't know, maybe there's somebody that's going through a process where your body is just, where you're just not in a healthy place, where you probably had some bad news, where you maybe have a sword over you. Hey, it's difficult to worship in that place because you continuously think, God, what if? It's difficult this morning if you're in a place of whatever your financial situation might be and you think, God, what if? And God says, just worship. It feels like this wall is around me or I'm facing a wall. Just worship. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you do not leave us as orphans, that you do not leave us in the wilderness, Lord, but that you want to move us into that place of every promise that you've prepared for us, Father. Father, that you give us hope this morning. Jesus, you are our hope this morning, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that everyone under the sound of my voice can leave with hope here this morning, Lord, because you are alive. I want every eye to be closed for a moment. I do not know the audience that well. I do not know all of you personally, but I do want to give you hope this morning. I do want to introduce you to the one that can give you hope this morning. One that walked into your life and changed it forever because he did it to me and he did it to many others present here this morning. If you are present here this morning and say, Yaku, I need Jesus in my life. Jesus is not, he's not the number one in my life. He's not the number one in my life, but this morning I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, while nobody's looking around, I want you just to quickly raise your hand and say, I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to open up. I need to give my life. I need to give over to Jesus. Now, Jesus, come be the master. Be my Lord. If that's you this morning, can I just quickly get an indication where you are? Just to raise your hand and say, pray with me. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful, Lord. Can I ask the band to come up? I just sense that we need to worship for a moment, just one song. I don't know what your situation might be, but I'm not going to lay hands on you, but I want you to worship. I want you just to stand there before God and just to visualize whatever it might be this morning, whatever is standing in your way to take you to that place. Maybe you're just in a uncomfortable place. Just say, Jesus, help me to move faithfully through this time, to be found faithful, Lord, so that I don't miss the promised land, so that I don't miss the promises. Some of us, I sense God has given you so many promises, but you need to revisit that. You need to go back to that. You need to just remind yourself of that. God knows about that. That is there, but God wants you to remind yourself of where you're going, why you're here this morning, why you're part of this congregation, why are we doing what we're doing here this morning, where do you fit in? Jesus, we thank you. Come on, let's all stand for a moment, and we're just going to end in worship this morning. We're just going to give it to Jesus. We're just going to say, Jesus, you're going to break down every wall of resistance, Father. You're going to equip us, Father. You're going to sustain us. And you have sustained us. We thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.